Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The 486th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. Start making smarter bets today. We're also brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and legal in 40 states. Head on over to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus.
Hi-de-ho, DeGenerinos, welcome to episode 486 of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Gumby Knight, we're arguing over who the episode should be dedicated to, but it's going out to Sarah, one of our YouTube viewers. Now, you might be saying to yourself, good listener, Sarah sounds like it, a female name. Not that we're going to get into a gender thing here, but it is, in fact, a female. She has identified herself. She does watch our show. Somehow the YouTube analytics has not identified her as a female, but we are not 100% male any longer. And it's not just people dragging their wives in. She seems to be gung-ho on this show. So this goes out to Sarah.
Dude, that's the end of a four-year-long shtick.
Yeah, this could be it.
Yeah,
like the last episode.
We've been making that joke since the pandemic.
Yep. I still don't know. We don't know if we have any female listeners, to be fair.
Oh,
we
you mean
at least
you,
one yeah. viewer.
Oh, that's right. We call them something different. So they come out to the yard for our faces. That's it.
Yeah, yes. There you go. So if the listeners, if there's a female listener, they should rate and review, and then we'll know.
There you go. We haven't had a review in a minute. So yeah, we could use some of those. I, for the record, first of all, I'm behind that episode dedication, but I also, you can't throw one to the birthday boy. Got to throw one to the birthday boy.
Ryan H.
In the Discord. Happy birthday, dude.
Happy birthday, Ryan H. Good to see you back in the Discord more regularly. You may wonder why my voice sounds different every few sentences. That's because someone is cutting in and talking when they're not supposed to talk because they haven't been introduced, and they insist that I introduce them and that I give them topics to discuss as well.
Never insisted you introduce me.
So I have to. I have three different topics. I'm Jeff Chalks Fox, by the way. Thanks for coming to the show. Topic one. I had a shovel all weekend. It was really crappy and really heavy and frozen. And I have a corner lot and it really sucks because the snow plows plow you in. And then you have to do the sidewalk in the corner and it was super heavy. And I had to jump on top of it to crush the snow. It was so icy. So topic one, weather. Why do we live in this climate when we don't have to? Topic two, the NFL playoffs are over as of a few hours ago. So he probably doesn't want to comment on that. So Gumby will not be distracted any longer. It will be all MMA now. Topic three, the UFC is back, baby, as of last night. A bit of a mediocre beginning for us, but I got Mr. Silver Lining with me, and he will find the silver lining to our picks. He will let you know how amazing we did, even if some of the stats look like we didn't. So I gave him three topics. We'll see what the man named Gumby, government name Daniel Vreeland, wants to riff on. Go ahead.
Well, so I'll start with the winter weather. I am going to neglect the NFL playoffs. I don't care about those anymore. but I will start with the winter weather because I have like I got like a 50, 60 yard long driveway that I was shoveling last time we got a whole bunch of snow. And I got right to the end, you know, right where the plow is really like made it all rocky. And some just good Samaritan silver linings here came along, was like, hey, you want me to just hit that with it, my plow real quick, and took care of the end of my driveway for me. You know, just like a amazing. Just like a really good dude. I live in a fun area, so that's why I do it.
Small town. That's small town for you. It happens in my neck of the woods too, but the plow came after the fact, I think. So anyhow.
Okay, so there's one. And then silver linings. I mean, you hit a nice prop on Bruno Fajeda. Also, fun fact about Bruno Fajeda. We put a little video clip up on our YouTube, a little YouTube short that you might have seen. That was our Hungry Man Jong Parlay. When I do, I'm in charge of putting some captions on it, and I use the software that auto puts captions on there. And usually, I just got to read through and make sure there are no misspellings or no names that are too difficult for them. And Bruno Fajeda. Was one of my all-time corrections on the AI captions, because as I was flipping through it, it said, I really like Bruno Fajitas by Knockout.
Yum. He makes good fajitas.
Yeah, Bruno Fajitas.
Instead of Hulk, even though he did Hulk it up last night, he could be Bruno the Fajita. Sizzling Fajita Fajita.
I got to say, him calling out Shara Bullitt, man, that was like an all-time good call out, because like I'm still not sure how good Bruno Fajeda is. I'm definitely not sure how good Shara Bullitt is. But my goodness, are they both fun to watch strike.
guess who knew nothing of that call out? Me, of course.
Oh yeah, because you don't listen to the app of the fact. Yeah, but it's a good call out though, right? That's a fun fight.
Jim Miller. I can't skip Jim Miller. Jim Miller is a saint of the sport. So I didn't skip his talking.
And he made a good call out too. You know, it was pretty reasonable asking for, you know, Paul Felder or Matt Brown. Yeah. Like I'm fine. Yeah,
two retired guys, two broadcasters.
Well, Matt Brown's not a broadcaster, right?
Yeah. He has his own podcast, I think. So,
does he?
Everyone's a broadcaster nowadays. We're broadcasters, like, Gumby.
Doesn't he also have a coffee cup? I'm pretty sure he's got a coffee company, Immortal Coffee.
Really? I thought you were going to say coffee cup. I'm like, wow, he's got his own coffee cup. Amazing.
No, I'm pretty sure he's got a coffee company.
Hey, you guys like my hat? You people watching on, like, Sarah and the likes of you? When I say guys, it's non-gender guys. You guys like my hat? Is SGP hat? You can get it from our store, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. And when you type in playoffs, it's all caps. I don't know if you need to put it all caps, but if you do, figure it out. 15% off. And we're in a little contest. And we want to crush all the other shows on the network. So
that was the other person I was gonna dedicate this episode to. Every time somebody posted a winning bet in the chat this weekend, our guy Catfish Dilly was like, hey, do you know what you could do with that? With promo code playoff, you could buy some merch.
No way. Fantastic. Yeah,
every single time, you know, like he committed to the bit, you know, like I really appreciate it. So shout out Catfish Dilly.
Yes, Dilly. And shout out to Eric Does Sports again. He's come up with a new nickname for our man Gumby. It's Daniel.
My wife does the dishes. Really. Not proud of it.
Gumby is
not proud of it, but I'll wear it.
He will wear it. He will wear SGP merch as well. Maybe not right this minute. I'm not sure if he's wearing any merch right now. No, he's not. Maybe underwear. Do we sell? We don't have underwear, do we? We should.
Got like swimming trunks, I think we have.
Not Speedo style though, right? So you're not interested really, right?
I'm good either way, style. I think. I'm not really a swimmer.
No. Oh yeah, we discussed this.
I hate water. I hate the beach. Yeah, this is definitely
your family made you.
Yeah,
your family made you last summer. I remember. I congratulated your wife on getting you into the water. I saw a photo of you. I think your feet were getting wet.
We should definitely talk about Johnny Walker.
Yes, the creature on your hat likes the water, though, right?
Oh yeah. So this is again another one from that graphic design company that I. Yep. Was repping last time. The company's called The Clink Room. Bunch of really talented artists who just do like really fun one-offs. And this one-off is the blue-footed boobies. I got the booby hat.
Gumby's got boobies on his hat. Fantastic. And for what team?
It's just so they just do like
just makeup.
They just do like made up ones, or like, you know, some of them are, I think, are like failed minor league team ideas, but the other ones are just like, hey, what would look kind of cool on a hat with like weird colors?
So a team named the Boobies is a failed team. Imagine that.
I would say it's pretty normal. I mean, like, look at minor league baseball now, dude. They've got crazier names than that.
Yeah, this isn't a minor league baseball podcast, it's though, not. Is it? I haven't said that for a long time. No. The old catchphrase from the olden days of the show. So how long before we are doing ad reads for that company that you keep giving free advertising for?
I've got like 6 hats from them, so I'll wear another one next time, and maybe I'll send them a clip.
Yeah, you should. And they can pay you in hats. You should send them this clip right here. They can pay you in hats and me hats as well. All right. We have someone who pays us in cold, hard dollars, American dollars, which is good for me because then I can get 30% more when I cash in these cold, hard American dollars, which is nice. So maybe that's why I live where the weather's horrible. Maybe because I get more money.
That could be it.
Maybe. Anyhow. Oh, healthcare is nice too. I get healthcare. Anyhow, DraftKings. This was an old school opening by us. 10 minutes of crap, but people love it. People love it. We've had comments. It's all about the chemistry of us, Gumby. So people love it. And people do love DraftKings as well. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official, my voice is cracking, puberty time, a special official sports betting partner of the NFL playoffs. Except those things are over, right, Gumby? They're over.
That's correct.
Is bringing you an offer that'll help make the playoffs electrifying. Nope, they're not going to be electrifying. New customers can bet $5 on any game and get 200 instantly in bonus bets. Gumby, do you like any lines?
Yeah, it seems like you should just take the Packers next week by the feel of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, no, the playoffs aren't over. I saw that Tay-Tay girl. She was dancing in the stands yesterday. I think her team won. She gets to, we get to watch her again for another week.
Her team.
Her team won. She was doing special dances and stuff for them. She could buy the team, I'm sure. Wouldn't be a problem, but anyhow.
Go on.
Especially if she takes some of the money and puts it into DraftKings and makes a nice. Now that might be controversial if her boyfriend's on the team and she's betting, she probably should stick. Don't take this advice, Tay-Tay. Don't gamble on NFL. But all the rest of you listening, you should download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code SGP. New customers can bet just $5 to get 200 instantly in bonus bets. That's some good math right there. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code SGP. The crown is yours. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY, which is 467-369-69. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Let's take a trip.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Drink after that. From my Mickey Mouse cup. Okay. Let's talk some UFC, shall we? It was a fun fight night. Lots of finishes. We wouldn't end up with 11 fights because Manel Cape, right when we started praising him and saying, you know, he's changed and he's, you know, a new fighter. He probably still is, but he came in overweight. He blames it on medication and illness, and his fight got canceled. So hopefully Cape, Nick Lau, hopefully they run that back very soon, because that was a co-main event and we were looking forward to that fight. So we were we ended up with 11 fights and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 finishes, including a spinning wheel kick, a face crank. It was a fun evening, even if we didn't go 100% on our picks. So we're not going 100% this year, sadly, because right out of the gate, we whiffed on the first. Actually, no, we go from top to bottom. Regardless, we whiffed on the first fight. We whiffed on the last fight. In the main event, one of our big swings was on Johnny Walker, +410. He got his face caved in after he got his head bounced off the cage. It was a vicious knockout by Magomed Ankalaev, who actually did something, actually fought. didn't just stand around passively. Took him a couple rounds to do it. KO punches, round two, 242. Very impressive knockout, the kind that people are going to remember and the kind that probably will put him in more people's good graces, whether they're working inside the UFC or outside as fans.
Yeah, the weird thing about this for me is, you know, I walk away from this fight, like, obviously he's got the power, and it just takes, like, you messing up one time for him to touch you and put you away. But, like, do you walk away from that fight feeling a lot differently about him than you did going in?
No, I'm happy. Well, not happy, actually, that he pulled the trigger since we were on the other side. I'm glad he actually, you know, finished someone and showed some aggression and stuff. That's good for his prospects. It's bad that we weren't picking him, but
did he show any aggression?
That's the thing. Not until the finish. That's right.
And even the finish was just Johnny Walker not only overexerting himself, because that's, first of all, why he got caught. And then second of all, it was the time he overexerted himself or overreached or whatever you want to say, overextended himself and was off balance, right? Because that's how he got caught, is he not only stepped in for a combination, but he stepped in, sort of slipped and overthrew the punch and then got hit with a counter. And, like, first of all, you know, I'm not taking anything away from Megamed Ankalaev, right? Like, that's what you're supposed to do in that situation. It's the reason why he's 19-1, right? It's because he punishes people when they make mistakes, and he himself doesn't really make any mistakes. But at the same time, I don't see him being this super dangerous guy who gets after it. You know, I definitely see people like Alex Pajeda being too much for him. Right, because Alex Pajeda is going to make a lot less of those Johnny Walker ass mistakes. Like, right, like, no, nobody makes mistakes like Johnny Walker. Even somebody like Jamal Hill, I think, might be too much for him, because, like, it's not like Jamal Hill's like slipping on a banana peel all the time either. So, like, at the end of the day, like, yeah, he did more than I thought he would. He wound up landing that big blow on Johnny Walker, but he was losing that fight until he landed that punch. Like, Johnny Walker won the first round.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, officially he won the first round?
So 2 out of 3 judges gave it to him. Let me pull up the name of the third one who gave it to you. The only one who gave it to Magomed Ankalaev was our good bad boy, Sal D'Amato.
There we go.
Yeah, so Sal D'Amato.
He's counting on a knucklehead.
Yeah, so Sal gave it to him. But apart from that, like, the other two judges gave it to Johnny Walker. So, like, Johnny Walker's up there, I think. You know, like, Ankalaev seemed to be gaining a little bit momentum in the second, but I thought you could, up until that big blow, probably even give the second to Johnny Walker on, like, you know, a coin flip 50-50 on striking, and maybe just giving more aggression to Johnny Walker, right? So, like, and, you know, there's more time, so obviously somebody could have figured it out, but there's a chance, and if he doesn't slip on that banana peel and get knocked out like that, he might have been up 2 rounds. And like, this, if this is a guy who's going to go fight Alex Pajeda, I don't like his chances fighting Alex Pajeda if that's how he fights Johnny Walker.
No, I'm not picking him. If he does fight Alex Pajeda, no. I'm definitely not picking him. Way to crap all over his performance. He finally does something and gets a knockout, and Gumby's all like,
just out of curiosity, he fought for, what was it, 8 minutes, because I know it was over 7.5, because some of us in the Discord had the over 1.5. So I know it made it past 7.5. It was pushing 8. So he fought for like 8 minutes. What was the second best thing he did in that fight other than that punch?
He kicked Walker in the johnnies at one point. Here we go. He's going to do it again.
And other than that, and maybe a couple of leg kicks, like, there wasn't a moment where you're like, oh, damn, Ankalaev, you know, especially for a guy who a lot of people were pegging as being like a guy who was going to take him down again and again, you know, and, you know, shame on me for picking Johnny Walker and assuming he wouldn't do something dumb. But like, at the
he
end
was
of the
wilder
day,
than he, if, in fairness, he was more like his old self than his new SBG. Yes. SBG self. He was a little wilder.
That's true. And I think he kind of got lulled into a sense of security too. You know, Ankalaev wasn't landing anything for 7 minutes. Why not be a little crazier?
I think the main takeaway is capoeira doesn't work in MMA, right?
I think that was just a stall tactic that for the last 5 seconds.
Yeah. All right. So Ankalaev, we're not impressed. Gumby, as GSP once said, is not impressed with his performance. But obviously, yeah, I'm not picking him against Bahia. I don't know. But who else? You can pick him against Jamal Hill.
I think I might take Jamal Hill, if I'm being honest.
Isn't Jamal Hill drunk all the time, though, on anytime we see him nowadays?
That's what everybody was saying in the Discord, that he looked drunk in the front row. That's a good one.
Yeah. All right. We whiffed on that. We did get the co-main event, though. This was a newly elevated co-main event, and rightfully so, because Jim Effin Miller was in it. A-10 is his nickname, not Effin. Jim Miller took care of Gabriel Benitez. Sadly, for Gumby's sake, it was not a TKO or a KO. I was suggesting to people he would knock out Benitez as well, but he finished him nonetheless. That was one of the picks I also suggested was inside the distance for Miller, because that's the only way he wins nowadays, and he did it. Took him three rounds, so 325 into the third round to win via face crank. Just shows the old man's strength coming through. Face crank really isn't a submission hold, but it is when Jim Miller is cranking on you. We have Miller at minus 115 on the money line.
Yeah, and I wish I listened and took the inside the distance. He'd been knocking so many people out, and in fairness, man, did he hit him with some massive blows. Benitez's chin really held up. But man, yeah, then when Miller decided to grapple, it's still there. The guy's still got it. You know, like,
he's never shown any real slippage. There was a while there where he lost like four straight, but that was like ages ago.
Yeah.
And he hasn't really looked bad. He's never really.
Wasn't that a bunch of killers too? Wasn't that like the Benson Henderson?
That was still when he was fighting the top of the top. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like, he's not fighting the top of the top anymore, but like, name another guy who like made the top five in like seven champions later is still not only like fighting, but like finishing people. Like, nobody does that. And some divisions don't even have seven champions, and he's made it. And I'm exaggerating maybe, but like, he was doing the he was in the top five when Frankie Edgar was the champ, right? Yeah,
he was in like a title eliminator, was he not?
Yeah, against Benson. Right? Yeah, who took it from Frankie. So like, he was there when Frankie was champ. He was there when Benson was champ, which means he was there when Pettis was champ. Who took it from Pettis? RDA. Who took it from
Connor?
Connor took it from RDA.
The biggest star he forgets.
Habib and Islam. Like, he's been there for, I guess, seven, by the way. That's lucky on my
part. Really?
But that was a total guess.
The intern didn't tell you?
But he's been there for seven champions, and he's still like, I mean, he's won five out of six. That's crazy.
Yep. And he survived an interview with Gumby, and nothing bad happened to him yet.
That's right.
Maybe the Lyme disease will come back. Knock on wood. We don't want him to get Lyme disease again. Yeah, I know. Anything for a laugh, Gumby. I wish no Lyme disease on Jim Miller. The UFC should just keep feeding people that they want to cut, and he'll take care of it for you.
He does. He seems like the bouncer, the UFC's bouncer. Yeah,
exactly. It's true. Not that Benitez is going to get cut necessarily. How many losses? Actually, no. Yeah. We're cutting him, Gumby. I've decided we're cutting him.
I got a big salary, too, now that he's been there a minute.
He's been around a while. That's a 4 out of 5, 3 out of 4. Somewhere like
something like that.
And they all been finishes. That's the problem. He gets finished. So yep. He looked fine, though. Like you said, he took a bunch of shots. You know what looks more than fine? It is fine. Cut, Gumby. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and legal in 40 states. I am not U.S.-based, and I am not legal in 40 states myself. P2P, peer-to-peer social betting, is a new and better way to bet directly against your friends or other users on sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes and tons of fun social features that give it the feel of a betting social network. Cut offers lower vig and fully customizable odds. Create your own bets. Cut handles the payment side of things, so you never have to chase anyone down for dollars. That's the worst part of playing fantasy sports or betting with your friends, chasing down people for dollars. Social features include group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. And the rewards, you can get your cash back every single time you bet against your friends or other users. Remember, Cut is the capitalized and bolded peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and legal in 40 states. Head to KUTT.com. Oh, that's right. It's spelled with a K. KUTT.com. And it's got an extra T. And use promo code SGPN for 10% a deposit bonus. You want more special bonuses? Thanks to us, people here at Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Look no further than Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy has a way to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long. NFL, NBA, NHL, college basketball, college football, which is over. So is the NFL. That's over too. But MMA is still on. They have it. They have it all. Simply bet, pick higher, lower on your favorite players' fantasy stats and cash in. Gumby, do you have a play for us? Don't say Cade Cunningham because he's injured.
Yeah, he's injured. I'll take him.
He gets hurt.
I'll take Fred VanVleet's higher than on his points. They got him at 17.5 on Monday. He's playing the 76ers, which is kind of tricky, but he was coming off of like three straight games with 20 plus, and then he just like absolutely laid a goose egg last game at three. So I like his game against the Sixers as a bounce back.
All right. Watch along. See if Gumby's right. Make your picks and maybe make a little cash over on Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. And when you sign up with the promo code SGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code SGPN. All right. Let's go through. No, actually, I was going to say get some more winners. The main card, we were just back and forth, win-loss. So not a way to make money unless we were hitting plus 410s, which we didn't. Very good fight. This part of the prediction I got right. This was a good fight. If they had given out a fight of the night bonus, this probably would have won it. Bantamweights, Mario Bautista defeated Ricky Simon, sadly, for us. 30-27, 30-27, 29-28. Bautista looked great. His grappling, wrestling, it was on point against Simon, which we were hoping it would not be. And he was really getting the best of the higher-ranked fighter on the feet as well. We had Simon at minus 160. It did not come through. Simon was also my lock of the week. Boo.
Yeah, I would say the big change here for Bautista, and we don't have to dwell on this fight too much, is just a little bit faster on the feet than I anticipated, and still got taken down a lot. Like, I think whether the stats show it or not, that dude's butt hit the mat like 7 or 8 mm-hmm. times. He just scrambled incredibly well, which is a little bit of a change from the past. So I think that's a big, big new piece of his game. Because even if his wrestling defense doesn't hold up his ability to scramble and get back up, I think actually tired Ricky Simon out.
Are we past peak Ricky Simon at this point now, Gumby? Two straight losses, 31 years old at bantamweight.
Yeah, I don't know if we're past it or if he's just running into a couple of bad matchups, but like, I mean, like he could still be peak and be number 15 in the division or 13 in the division. That just like might be what his peak is, sadly.
Yeah, it's true. Yep. All right. Middleweights. We hit this one, like I said, back and forth. Bruno Fajeda came through the way we predicted he would. My prop of the week, he knocked out Phil Haas.
This was a
very hard knockout. The main event one was more visibly, it was a more visible type knockout, but this one was a stone cold knockout. Knocked out Phil Haas cold. 4:55 into the first round. Phil Haas sadly is going to get cut. Now after this is my prediction, and we have Fajeda minus 120. I have Fajeda via knockout plus 125, and Gumby had that as part of the Hungry Man Jong Superfan Parlay. We'll give you credit for that as well. Pretty predictable outcome, and I'm glad Fajeda actually came through and did what we were hoping he would do.
Yeah, I don't know if there's anything to say about this other than like Fajeda throws big punches. We know he throws big punches. We were pretty sure he was going to land one of those big punches.
And, I know what else we say. His wrestling. He was wrestling a guy known for
his wrestling. Yeah, what was he doing?
He did all right.
I mean, I guess he got in some good positions, but you're like, this is a dude who throws straight haymakers, a dude whose jaw has been questionable, and he was like, well, what if I wrestle him?
Yeah. See, I'm only complimenting it because it didn't come back and bite him in the end. He ended up being
heavy enough. That could have been a real big low IQ moment.
Yep. All right, low IQ moment for us. Gumby did it out of love. I just did it. I don't know why I picked. Oh, I did it because I didn't want to lay I-49 on.
Is this a low IQ moment?
Waldo Cortez Acosta. It ended up being the opener of the main card, and what a beautiful opener it was. Andre Arlovski survived. I think we're at the point of his career where he just can survive fights. He's lost three straight now. Didn't get knocked out though, because Waldo Cortez Acosta is not very good. 29-28 across the board for Cortez Acosta. He was dancing and clowning instead of finishing the fight. If you're so good and you're so much better than Andre Arlovski, why don't you actually hurt him and finish the fight? But
I can tell you why he was gloating and dancing and stuff like that. It's because he kept throwing bombs and missing. And it turns out that's really tiring and really hard to keep doing.
Salsa dance is not. Salsa is regenerative.
It was less tiring than throwing an absolute haymaker and coming up with air, because he did that about a billion times. I think I saw going into the last round, The significant strikes landed were tied at 25.
It was ugly.
25 was the significant strike total going into the last round. Dude, it was such a bad fight. I will say, like, you know, we are at the end of the day on the wrong end of it. You know, there's no close enough in the gambling world. But you tell me, you book that fight again tomorrow and give me the same odds. I ain't betting on Waldo Cortez Acosta at those odds.
No.
You know, like, if I got $100 and book that matchup again for next weekend, I'll take Arlovsky again.
Oh, yeah. I don't know about that. But I was thinking, I'm looking forward to fading.
He won the second round. He was one round away from winning that fight.
I think it's time for Arlovsky to say bye-bye. His fights aren't fun.
Oh, there's no way they're going to cut him.
I know. I'm not saying they're going to cut him. He's just surviving in fights at this point. Like, he was just surviving. He wasn't.
Can I tell you, unfortunately, what's next for him? I already know what's next for him. Yeah. After Robles de Spange, you know, disposes of Jared Vandera.
They're not keeping Vandera around.
I'm not saying Vandera.
Oh, no.
I'm saying Robles de Spange. They already did it. They love using Andre Arlovsky is a leaping point for their big power punchers. They thought they were doing that with Waldo Cortez Acosta right now. They're like, if Waldo Cortez Acosta goes in and throws a haymaker, boom, instant star. We can say he beat a champ. They did it with Francis on the way up, right? Francis Ngannou knocked out Arlovsky on the way up. So did Jairzinho Rozenstruik when they thought he was the second coming of Francis. They put him in there against Arlovsky. Now they put Waldo Cortez. Like, if they've got a young guy who they think hits hard, they roll out Arlovsky. So I bet you they keep him around as being the second step in a slow march forward for Robles de Spange.
Oh, sad. Yeah, as were our main card picks, 2 and 3. Very sad. Things got better in the prelims, at least for me. Because the main event of the prelims, the one fight we differed on, it came through for me. I guess you didn't know Matthew Semelsberger cut his hair. That might have been why. That might have changed your pick. A cleanly shorn Matthew Semelsberger got pretty much handled on the feet and on the ground by Preston Parsons. Preston Parsons has never looked this good before. It's because I backed him. 30-27 did not look like a plus 110 underdog, which I got him at.
Yeah, I would also say it looked like not that to take anything away from I think it's Pleasure Parsons, if I'm not mistaken.
yes, Preston Pleasure Parsons. It was a pleasure picking him.
Yeah, I'm not taking anything away from him, but it did look like Semelsberger gassed super early in this fight. And it was short notice. So again, maybe a lesson to be had there, but not much to say about this fight other than that.
Is Semelsberger safe? Yeah.
It's a short notice fight, so he might have saved himself there, but like
probably. He probably not. Gets another one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Depends how Dana does it at blackjack that day. This man's quickly becoming one of my favorites. Marcus McGee, the maniac. Like he doesn't really fight like a maniac. It's not like he ever puts himself in danger. At least he didn't last night in his fight against Gastón Bolaños. Took care of he actually had two walk-off knockouts in this fight. Thought he had a walk-off knockout, and then the ref wanted him to beat up his opponent some more, so then he got another walk-off knockout. This one, a TKO, spinning wheel kick and punches, 3:29 into the second round. The little fire hydrant, that is a little 55-year-old fire hydrant, Marcus McGee came through at minus 250 for us.
He's younger than me. Yeah. Which is wild. Yeah, his hairline doesn't look like it. So, you know, props to him. I mean, God, is he so much fun to watch on the feet. And I know the grappling's in there. I know I said it on the show on Wednesday too, is like he's not really showing his work on the ground, but I know it's in there too. He's just looking like an absolute tactician on the feet. You know, like you said, he's not a maniac on the feet. He's like a surgeon on the feet. So yeah, I want to see more of him. That's 3 performance bonuses and 3 fights for him.
His life has changed, man.
He's basically quadrupled his income over those 3 fights by doing that. Yeah.
At least. What do you want to see for him next? What type of future could he have? Because he's not the young, he is in his 30s already, and he is at bantamweight, but that's also positive because that kind of power doesn't usually exist at bantamweight.
Yeah, I think a step forward, like a substantial step forward, would make the most sense because he's in like, you know, he's in his 30s and fighting guys like Gastón Bolaños is like, doesn't really make any sense anymore. I wouldn't want to see him against the rank guy or even like a guy who's like
recently Bantamweight's too deep for that anyhow.
Yeah. So. Or and even like somebody like recently fallen from the ranks, you know, like Ricky Simone probably won't be in the rankings come Monday. Even him, I think that's way too big of a step forward. So I think you could probably run him, you know, with any of those like youngish up and comers in the division, right? Like I know Brady Heestand has already kind of been booked and then had to fall out of a fight, but like somebody like that, somebody with a couple of wins under their belt, or, you know, is Garrett Armfield fighting Brad Katona this weekend? Is that featherweight or bantamweight?
That's bantamweight. Positive by far.
I want to say that's featherweight now, and now I'm gonna be suddenly.
You know who I would love to see him fight, but this man just got booked in a fight. Cody Garbrandt.
That is a bantamweight fight. Give him the winner, Armfield, and Brad Katona. That would be a fun one.
All right, get it done, people. All right, one more ad read, then we'll get out of here. Get out of your ears and your eyes, even though you probably want more of us. Hall of Fame Bets, ladies and gentlemen, win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bets' revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. And as I told you earlier on, we're having a sale at the SGPN merch store. We don't need a graphic. Graphic can be my hat. Look at that beautiful hat. 50% off everything in the store now until the end of the month with the promo code PLAYOFFS. We're competing against other shows for a bonus. So if you want us to be rich, Gumby and Jeff to be rich and to buy a private island and start recording off the island, Gumby Island, we'll call it. It's a spot. You can help us make that happen. We'll have a party there, okay? Your favorite items from the store. Everything you like is there. Your favorite items, of course, will be the MMA Gambling Podcast gear, like our Mantle shirt and our Gumby God shirt. And there's lots of good stuff. Check it out. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/store. Playoffs is your code. All right, Gumby?
That's right. Right.
Gumby Island. Someone ruined the private island thing, though, didn't he? But I still want a private island regardless, so I don't care. All right. You ready to move on? We're going to stick with bantamweight, shall we? Fareed Basharat defeated Taylor Lapolis. Lapolis was game, which is what I was thinking. I was thinking this fight would look closer than the minus. What do we have? We have Basharat minus 250 than it did. Very good fight. Basharat did take care of things. This kind of makes me hesitant going forward with him. He is the lesser of the two Basharat brothers, definitely. But you can't really sneeze at it. 3-9, skunking over Taylor Lapolis. But, you know, I'm going to pause on Fareed Basharat automatically taking him. I guess it depends on who they book him with next. Maybe Gumby has a booking for him.
I don't, but I would just say continuously, like, you don't want to keep paying Javid prices for Fareed.
It's a good line.
And that's what I felt like we were doing there, because that wasn't a negative 250 favorite. Like, I'm glad he won. And you know, like, his grappling held up enough. But, man, like, it was not – he certainly didn't look like a negative 250 favorite. So I'll take it. And, again, I think you just have to take it on a case-by-case basis and just recognize that, like, they're treating him as he's one of the Basharat brothers, not like he's Fareed Basharat.
Yep. The next man lived up to his minus 800 billion. And this is the last fight that we got right, sadly. Featherweight's Jean Silva in his debut schooled Weston Wilson, knocked him out with punches, 4-12 into the first round. Was this the standing knockout? I can't remember. I'm getting my fights perhaps confused. Yeah, it was a standing TKO, right? Because Weston would not go down.
Yeah, that's correct. I'm laughing because I think you missed the best part of the fight. Because you don't watch the post-fight interviews.
Oh, yeah. He had, like, some kind of nerd glasses on.
He's on the Fighting Nerds. So they
Fighting Nerds. That's why you wore. Okay, yeah. Okay. Now it makes sense.
But
go ahead.
You didn't catch him barking at the screen repeatedly?
I heard he was barking. Yes, I did hear that. So that's a thing, though, now, right?
Just for him.
You know, that dude got cut. So it could be just him now in the UFC that barks at people.
Who's the other one that barked at people?
I remember he barked and won the fight because he barked and scared his opponent.
Oh, that guy who had lost four in a row and we were
yes,
ready to cut.
Yes. What? Come on, you're supposed to be remembering.
Oh man,
yet.
I think I interviewed him.
It's not good. Anshul Jubilee, he was fighting.
Oh yeah, right? yeah. And then I think they cut him anyway, right?
They did. I'm gonna look it up.
Oh man, now, this is. Oh, hang on. Don't tell
this
me.
Is embarrassing.
Don't tell me.
Somebody can edit it though. Mike Breeden.
Oh, I would have gotten there, and it's Money Mike Breeden. Yep.
Yeah, Money Mike. No, he was not Money. Yeah, Barking Mike Breeden. Yes, I missed the barking. Thoughts on Gene Silva?
Good, really to say he's much? Really good. Yeah. I mean, like, you know me, I'm high on all the fighting nerds. I think they're super good.
Right. And, he's a nerd, right?
I mean, like, the best part of him is he's not wild. You know, like he's right. Very composed in the way he puts his fight together. So, and he looked good there. So,
Yep. Lightweights, our picks did not look good here. Tom Nolan did not look good. He got knocked out 1:03 in the fight against Nicholas Mota. Not a good UFC debut for
you. Told me to stop talking about the tall guy defense. You told me to stop talking about it. And this was
back straight up, Gumby.
That back straight up tall guy
defense. Lean back and back straight up.
It'll catch you at some point in time. Sam Patterson learned the hard way, and now so is Tom Nolan. So, yeah, maybe I need to talk about it more than I usually do.
Hopefully, I guess we're going to have to pump the brakes on Tom Nolan as well. And then in the opener, he looked good. Actually, this fight, it looked the opposite of who took this fight in short notice. Joshua Van got stronger as the fight went on, and Felipe Bunez gassed out, basically, and got TKO punches into the second round, 4:31 in the second round. Joshua Van did not look good in the first round, but his power, he didn't look necessarily that good to start off the second round either, but then his power came through, and he's got some tremendous power at flyweight, and he pretty much just bulldozed Felipe Bunez with it.
Especially to the body. Like, I don't think I've ever seen a flyweight who zaps their opponents like this guy does. Like, he just touches people. Like, I think somebody said he had 5 body shots land in the first round. And Felipe Bunez came out, and it looked like he had fought 30 rounds already. It was incredible. I think time and time again, Joshua Van just keeps proving people wrong. But, like, the way this man uses his cardio and his power – And his wrestling defense held up. So, I mean, we're wrong to doubt him. I think this dude needs a ranked opponent. I'm going to be honest. Like,
flyweight's not that deep.
Tell me the truth.
It happened.
He'd beat Tim Elliott, right?
Yeah, he would knock him out, probably.
He would probably beat Tim Elliott. And, like, what's – I mean, Tim Elliott's a top 15 guy. So, like, I'd probably take him over David Dvorak, people like that. Yeah. Like, you know, so like we're talking about this guy beating multiple ranked guys now, and he's 22 years old. I saw a tweet that said he's got 17 months where he could still beat John Jones's youngest champion.
Right? Oh, yeah.
17.
Don't say anything about it, though. We don't want him talking about it.
No. Yeah. Well, I mean, he doesn't even watch his opponents. So, like, he probably doesn't care about.
He probably doesn't know.
Like
he doesn't know who John Jones is. Who that?
Yeah, exactly.
He's so young. He may not know who John Jones is actually at this point. And he did this in short notice against not a UFC veteran, but a veteran fighter.
He says he wants to fight 6 times this year.
Yes. That's what he told you on Top Turtle. He said that would be perfect for him.
That
so.
Rules.
But Bunez looked all right, though, right?
Yeah. But, you know, kind of my problem on him is that dude missed the best part of his career. Like, the best part of his career, he was, like, this close to signing with the UFC, and that's when they started trimming the roster. You know, like, he was, I think he was, like, 28 when they decided to start, like, cutting flyweights left and right. He went and fought in Russia and had, like, a so-so time over there. But, like, that could have been the prime of his career. And instead, here we are at, like, you know, I think he's 32 or 33 now. And, you know, probably not getting any younger in a division where it's a young guy's game. So, you know, I think he's going to have a couple more fun fights. I definitely pick him to beat some of these flyweights. But, you know. Unfortunately, probably the best days behind him.
He's the Arvydas Sabonis of MMA.
Yeah. Yeah. Demonis's dad.
Yes. See, you know him as Demonis's dad, but have you seen highlights of Arvydas Sabonis?
I know Arvydas Sabonis. Yeah.
Non-NBA highlights. He was still like awesome in the NBA, but
when Demonis came to Gonzaga, everybody was like, oh, it's Arvydas's kid.
Anyhow. All right. This is not an Arvydas Sabonis podcast. It could be, though. All right, let's recap quickly how we did. 6-5 for me, down 127 bucks. 5 and 6 are going to be down 337. So I am back in my rightful spot on top after 1 week. Gumby hit. Yep. Give me a week. Marcus McGee as his lock. Arlovsky as his dog. And Miller knockout. But Miller finished at least. I had Simone as a lock. And Bunez as my dog. And because I forgot I had Preston Parsons. I might have gone with Parsons. But anyhow. I forgot I'd even picked him. And then Fehea via knockout. I hit that plus 125. Ding, ding, ding for me. 5 and 5 on consensus picks and underdogs. I was 1 and 3 and you're 0 and 3. I'm keeping track of that, how we do with our underdog picks this year. So
nice.
not our one lock of the week, but overall our locks. So, unless it's really bad and then I'll stop announcing it. I like to track it. I'll just stop letting people know. All right. We're going to be back tomorrow. If you haven't had enough of us yet, we'll be back tomorrow. Regional May, but now that the UFC is back, we can be picky and choosy about which regional event we cover, right? We can pick the best of the best. And this week is KSW, maybe the best, probably the best promotion in Europe. I was going to say maybe, but definitely at this point, the best promotion in Europe. Gumby agrees. We'll be covering that tomorrow. In the meantime, we'll be in the Discord. We're always in the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. You can hit us up on Twitter. Gumby runs our account at SGPNMMA. He's at Gumby Vreeland. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer on there and on Instagram. You can get into my Substack and try to win one of my free UFC pick'em contests that I run every week. That would be moneymma.substack.com. Listen to Gumby's Top Turtle MMA podcast, and you can hear people tell him they want to fight 6 times in a year, like Joshua Van did. And sportsgamblingpodcast.com and sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon and sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. They're the three places you need to go to. All right. As I said, we'll be back tomorrow. It will be a pleasure, Jeff Fox and the maniac Gumby Vreeland. We'll talk to you then. Bye.